Grace and peace be yours from the God who so loves this world. Amen. When I was growing up, I had a unique opportunity. My mom's dad, my grandfather, had a private plane. Now, before you get excited and think, big Boeing 747, he had a little Cessna. And there was many times when I was a kid when he would pick us up in my small town and then go to the Air Adventure, and we would fly in on that airport. And I felt like the coolest kid in the school because my grandfather was on that runway. And when we got off, people recognized him, and people knew him. And we saw them, and we talked with them, and they were the most interesting people I ever knew. One of those times, my grandfather picked us up in my hometown, and we flew back to where him and my grandma lived. Halfway there, he says to me, "Do you want to learn how to fly a plane?" I was 13. I said, "Yes, Grandpa. In fact, I do." And he said, "Okay, plane's all yours." We took a nosedive. He pulled us and straightened up, and he goes, "Okay, that was scary, but now you know what not to do. And you also are never going to tell your grandma the story." And then quickly added, "Or your mom." So as we were going, he instructed me about how to hold the stick and how to guide the plane so it was level with the horizon. And as we were flying, he says to me, "Do you have it now? Are you comfortable?" And I looked at him, and I said, "Yes." And he says to me, "Okay." And he let go once more of the wheel. And this time, I was confident. I thought for a moment, maybe 5 minutes, that I was flying that plane by myself. What I didn't know is that he had complete control over what was going on. But he never let that on. He was also a photographer. And so one of the most interesting things to think about this man is that in the days of clip art, in the days of very limited photography online of different geological formations on the west, he would go out with his little plane, lean out the window, and take pictures. So if he could do that by himself, he could clearly do it with a 12-year-old boy. My grandfather was a professor. He was a teacher. Everything he did had some lesson of teaching in it. I remember when he made a nail on the side of their garage, push a lever that would then open up their garage door. And then he explained how it worked. But about 10 years ago, my grandfather was diagnosed with dementia. And in that moment, I didn't know what that meant. I was confused. I was a little bit frustrated. I couldn't understand why my mom couldn't quit crying. This was hard news for our family. The geologist of the United States no longer is going to remember things. He's not going to remember him taking me flying. So I think about that, and I think about how Jesus is now teaching for the final Sunday about bread. How difficult it is to understand. How complex, "Eat me and drink me, I came down from heaven." All of these sayings don't make necessarily sense the first time. They're difficult and they're confusing, much like my grandfather's diagnosis was for our family. This week, the two themes that caught my attention were God's abiding presence and the Spirit that gives life. It made me think about the Israelites' mobility when they were going from Egypt into the Promised Land and all of the space in between. God said God would be there. The Israelites said, "Let us build a tent. Let us set up places here." And God goes, "You're funny." And I think about how God came into the world as the human Jesus, how God abides with the leftovers, how God hangs out with the outcasts, the downtrodden, the grieving and the oppressed. And I thought about how the Spirit gives life. In Genesis, it is the Spirit that moves over the water and pulls from the deep life and creates the world around us. I thought about Mary's pregnancy, how the Spirit came to her and said, "You're going to bear the Christ child." I thought about how through our baptism we are claimed as the child of God, how nothing changes that, how the Spirit moves over those waters, how the Spirit moves in us. I thought about communion, where we eat the body of Christ and drink the blood of Christ, and how the Spirit gives us life even there. Over the time of my grandfather's dementia increasingly getting worse, I, at that point, was in high school and saw my grandparents less and less. And there was a moment where in college, I didn't see them for a full 6 months. And so when I came back, my grandfather no longer remembered who I was. And that was really challenging. So last year, at our wedding, one of my wishes was my grandparents would be able to make it. And so I sent out an invitation, and my grandmother emailed me back and said, "We will try our best to make it." And they did. My grandfather, I thought at the time, had no idea what was going on. And afterwards, as everyone's dispersing after the reception and some people are going down to the lake to go swimming and all the various other activities you do at a weekend wedding, my grandfather was sitting in the car to go. And he looked at me and said, "Andy, it is so good to be here." And I looked at him, shocked, crying, and said, "Well, thank you, Grandpa, for making the effort to come." And he looks at me, and he says, "You don't think I would miss my grandson's wedding?" "My wedding," he says, "was the best day of my life. I hope it was for you, too." And I said, "It was, and it is." And in about 2 minutes, he no longer recognized me again. But for that moment, for that single minute together, I had been given the world's best wedding gift. And at the single moment, God was with me, with my grandfather, and I was with the two of them, five of them if you're talking about the Trinity. And for a moment, we totally abided together. That Spirit that gives life gave life to the conversation, gave life to my grandfather, and I was thankful enough and blessed enough in that moment to recognize that. Jesus' radical notion that God abides in us is a thing about all times and in all circumstances and in all places. It was for a moment in my life that everything suddenly became clear. And for a moment, the disciples, everything becomes clear. After all of this bread discourse, they go, "We get it." Good for them. But they got it. Eventually, though, they'll leave Jesus for dead. They'll leave him on the cross to die. But for that moment, it was the Spirit that gave life, and God abided in them. Peter professes his faith in this moment and summarizes all of the gospel in its entirety, saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So I thought about my grandfather, and I was thinking about this passage all day on Tuesday after I first read it. And on Wednesday, I called my dad to give him an update on the hurricane. And he says to me, "Before you give me an update on the hurricane, I need to give you an update." Grandpa Lou passed away this morning. And I thought about how that was a moment of a blessing. How he had woken up and my grandmother had decided the day before to finally take him to a long-term care facility for memory care. She gave him some food, she gave him some water, and when she came back, he had passed away. And I thought about in that moment that God was abiding still with my grandfather, with my grandmother in her grief, with my mom, with her brothers, with all of us grandkids. And that Grandpa Lou was still abiding with us. I thought back of that plane ride, how I thought I was in control for a moment in time. But instead, it was much bigger than I thought. So I thought about grieving, and I thought about what this would mean for me going forward. And I really came back to every time that God abides, and it is the Spirit that gives life, and how my grandfather's spirit is still in this world. And then I think about what Peter ends his sermon, or his profession of faith. It could be a sermon, if you will. Jesus, we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Lord, to whom shall we go? It is you that has the words of eternal life. Amen.